master conguero and percussionist and band leader and arranger, Poncho Sanchez, with the title track of his 1998 album, Afro-Cuban Fantasy, which is interesting because he's actually Mexican. He's one of the pioneers in Latin jazz and has played with some of the greats. And I always get a kick out of playing his music, especially on matters concerning Donald Trump, because it should remind the folks around him, if he has people of that caliber, that, you know, Mexicans have done a lot for this country and continue to contribute meaningfully to this country. But in any event, it is Free Your Mind Friday. We've been talking all week, and it's been quite a series of conversations. And today it's an open forum, and I would like us to keep in mind that it is the last open forum before the November the 6th midterm elections. And so I want to ask you, what will your plans be on that day? What will you be doing that day? Are you going to be voting? Are you going to be voting differently? Are you not going to vote at all? What is going to be your frame of mind with regard to the midterm elections on Tuesday? I also want to thank, I mean, that piece on W.B. Du Bois, was it Du Bois? No. Oh, my goodness, I'm forgetting. But the opinion piece on why I will not vote was just incredible. I've read it once, and it shocked me only because, and I'm not saying this to be self-praising, but it is exactly what I have been thinking and what I was sharing with you about my attitudes toward this whole thing called the elections. It really blew my mind. So I want to thank, I think it was Juliet who sent it to me. Thank you so very much for raising the issue, sharing the ideas, and then sending me a copy. I, as much as I have read, I never came upon that. So it was incredibly instructive. So we start off with Bill from New Jersey.
Good afternoon, Eutrice.
Hello, Bill. How are you?
Good, good. I'd like to chime in on the voting issue. On Tuesday, I will be voting, but not this voting that people do every 2 years. I'll be doing the same kind of voting that I do every single day of the year, and that is voting with my dollars, which I feel is the only voting that matters above mayoral. Anything above mayoral, I believe, is a waste of time. And to those people that say, well, our ancestors died for the vote and you're disrespecting them to not vote, I say that our ancestors did not die for the vote. That would be foolish to die for the vote. They died in the pursuit of equity and justice, which they thought could be attained through the vote. So they didn't die for the vote. They died for these things, and they can't be attained through the vote. So they didn't die for the vote. So I just want to put that aside. As far as voting with my dollars, there's two ways to do that. You can boycott, which is the way most people think of voting with your dollars. And there is a problem with organizing and also with sustaining a boycott. I'm all for it, but how do you sustain it? How do you organize it? The other way to vote with your dollars is by voting with what you spend your dollars on, as opposed to what you don't spend your dollars on. And that can be done every single day of the year. And as an example, one thing that I do is I never, ever go to the self-checkout machines in any store, in your Home Depot, in your supermarket, because those machines put Americans out of work. If they've got six machines, and they usually have someone manning them in case you have any problem, that means five people are out of work. So wait on the line, go to see a cashier, and support jobs in this country. That's something you can do every day. And the more you go to that machine, the more jobs, once they get to the point where they can do just about everything with machines, what will people do for a living? So go to a cashier. Whenever there's a choice of going to a machine or going to a human, go to a human. And that is Easy Pass, cash machines. I've been told that there are some banks now that no longer have bank tellers. Don't go to the machine. Go to a human and support jobs. That's a very simple thing you can do every day, and it can have an impact. And for those that don't care about supporting jobs, I don't know why you wouldn't, but let me put this on the table. When you go to the machine, you are doing the work of someone they used to pay. So now you're doing the work for free, and they don't even give you a discount. So you're doing that work, and you're not being paid for it. Why would you do that? You know,
so Bill,
I know why the store does it, but why would you do it?
Let's just review. You're not going to be anywhere close to a polling site on Tuesday.
Never. Never.
You're not. Okay.
Never.
And you are instead recommending that people, as you say, vote with their dollars.
Which you can do every single day. 365 days a year, you can vote with your dollars. Another simple one as far as boycotting, I never, ever go to Walmart. Never, ever. They can't get 5 cents from me. Now, is it going to put them out of business? Do they care about my 5 cents? No. But I sleep better at night knowing that I did not contribute to a business that puts many businesses out of business in this country and basically operates off semi-slave labor, mostly from China, but other places, Vietnam, Bangladesh. So don't go to Walmart. And
okay,
when you buy clothes,
I've just need to move along a bit.
Look at the label.
But the basic thing is you are not voting in the traditional sense that we understand voting on Tuesday. Thank you.
Waste of time. All right.
Thank you. Julie from Florida.
Oh, hi, you trees. Wow. I've listened so long to your show, and this is the first time I've ever called in. But anyhow, with regards to your question, I voted yesterday. I live in Florida, and we have early voting. And
yes.
My big issue, actually, is availability of health insurance. My husband and I are both contractors in our mid-50s, and we're able to buy health insurance, but we don't have pre-existing conditions. And it frightened me with the Senate was so close last year with passing a repeal bill without having some sort of a viable backup health insurance law. But anyhow, health insurance is my big issue.
Okay. And you voted, in other words, as a single issue voter?
Pretty much that was my issue. I I tended to support the Democratic candidates. Also in Florida, as you know, because I think you live in Florida, we also have an amendment for restoring felons' right to vote, and I wanted to vote for that as well, too. That was important.
Okay. What do you think about the general attitude toward voting, or what do you suspect? People that you know, people in your circle, what is a consensus of opinion?
You know, I don't know. In my circle, I guess some of my friends and actually family members are deeply offended if you even bring up anything having to do with politics. So I'm not even sure how they're going to vote.
Maybe you can understand that. Okay. Well, thank you. So you voted early, and you were basically voting as a single issue voter. I'm not saying that that's the only reason you voted, but this was a priority of yours, a concern, a major concern of yours.
The main issue, yeah.
All right. Thank you.
All right,
Albert
thanks.
From New Jersey, you're on the air.
Great to be able to talk to you today. Your first caller, 2 points. I called a couple of weeks ago, and I kind of got into this. The man is right on the money. And I would extend his concept a little further. You know, I've done it short of what we need to be doing, and I'll get to that in hot checking. When you starve these courts out of their lifeblood, it's the only chance we got. And he's absolutely right. You save your money, and even if it's painful, because believe me, corporations sit around and they look at bottom dollar. When it starts going down, ears start flopping. And not only do you hold your money, but you'd be very vocal about telling people why I don't go spend my money with them.
It'll but I want to know, through. Albert,
yes.
Question on the table is, come Tuesday,
yes.
What will your attitude be with regard to voting? It will be.
I will not be voting, and it took me a long time to come to this conclusion. I did the last election I voted in was for our dear brother Barack, and well, that's another story. But the point is I've had my issues too about not voting, and again, your first caller kind of got in on this. I was always a little in the back of my mind concerned because I will never, never forget the stories of Fannie Lou Hamer. And when we had still something called a party convention where they actually got to the party, people voted for members. It's all pre-selection now. What she did was a phenomenal thing. She got beaten down, but she made an impact, and she was living in a different world. We don't have conventions anymore. This stuff is a glorified show. And to get past and answer your question, you know what? We all got to stop beating our gums and remember something. And I think in the back of your mind, you may be reluctant to say it, but you said it every day. You got to get out there, and you got to vote with your mouth and with organization. You can stand around and go vote for some idiot, but it's of no value, and it's been shown to be of no value. The only, if you had on election day people in droves in front of these election sites, however far back you have to be, and just when people were walking up, be just talking about it. Hey, are you voting for an issue? What are these people promising you? What do you think they're going to give you? Or how about this one? What have they given you? And I think until we're ready, and I don't see it happening soon, to stand up in the streets, okay, and say, this is what I believe in, and I don't have to have your party vote. I'm not voting for some guy that you think is a good guy. What are these people doing for me lately? And until we get to that point, I don't think you've got a big chance. So my story is, be willing to get the nerve up and the strength up, older people like me, to walk out into the street and say, look, here's a guy that may be worthwhile. You may know someone in politics who is promoting someone. You promote that person. You know, whoever you can, to a friend or relative or whoever might listen. But we've got to get out there in the streets. And one of your favorite terms from years back that I remember, you just got to be damned ungovernable, period. Because these people are not going to listen to you because the deck has been stacked so high, you trees. It's almost unbelievable. Like you said, come get in your vote and get the hell out of here.
Yep.
See you next time.
That's the standard equation.
What kind of
craziness? Give me a vote and then get lost.
Exactly. And I'm saying the trouble is half of us are working too hard to be concerned. Or we're concerned, but we think the system's going to come down on us because A, oh, my credit rating. Two, the IRS is going to come down on my butt. And like you said, your problem ain't Roe versus Wade. It's versus you got that unfair parking ticket or you got that unfair, you know, moving violation, and they're kicking your butt in the local court, and you're assumed guilty before you get in there. Okay? That's the problem. But few of us realize that, but once we get the spirit, and this is what I pray for, that people were just willing to go out and say, look, this is not right, it's wrong. And if you get 10 people on the corner who can say that, is when things can begin to change. Other than that, I don't see it. Because one, they got you, you can't beat them out in a war. Dr. King told us that, okay? And now with all the fancy surveillance and stuff they developed, it's tough. But the two things, your brother ahead of us that said it, cut those dollars out. And what I had mentioned is I put out a challenge before. I realized something. I'm 74. No money. I was broke. Okay? Broke. I mean, I'm an architect, retired, so I can work and I get a SSI check. And then one day it dawned on me, you know what? You just got to stop giving away that money. And you got to think real hard who you're giving it to. Turns out, in about 6 months, I managed to amass $3,000 in cash. Now, prior to that, if I had to get out of here where I live, leave town, I wouldn't know what in the world to do. Now, I'm a nobody, but I ain't broke. And if I got to get out of town quick, I can. And now, I figured out, well, I'll diversify my portfolio and buy some silk gold. And your boy Ortel mentioned this to us very quietly. You need some money because, brother, that's what it all revolves on. And that's all I got to say for today.
Well, thank you. Very insightful. Thanks so much for your contribution today. Harvey from Berkeley, you're on the air.
Hello, More Than Wonderful, you trees.
Hey, More Than Wonderful, Harvey. What have you to say today? What are you going to be doing come Tuesday?
Well, first of all, I just want to say many blessings to you and much happiness and to you and your
Thank
vast
you.
Radio audience. And and if it's okay, I'd like to first of all talk about a serious environmental issue. And as our planet heats up due to our overuse of fossil fuels, we here in California, as well as other states like Nevada, Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, Oklahoma, Kansas, Oregon, Utah, and Idaho are also experiencing severe drought, according to the United States Drought Monitor. So today I'd like to talk about something that I may have mentioned in the past called a solar water credit. And it turns out that coal fire, oil-fired, methane, and nuclear power plants, as well as oil refineries, are second only to agriculture in their daily use of America's freshwater resources. But the good news is that once manufactured and installed, solar panels use virtually no water over their 20 to 25-year warrantied lifetime. And my idea is to reward people and businesses who install solar panels on the rooftop with a solar water credit in the form of a yearly tax credit for the water that they save by generating clean, renewable solar electricity. And taking it one step further, an additional tax rebate should be awarded to people who purchase electric vehicles instead of gasoline or diesel-powered automobiles and trucks. and plug their electric cars and trucks into their solar electric rooftop installations, which would save even more water because oil refineries use a lot of water in the production of petroleum products like gasoline and diesel fuels. So now and in the future, it's all about generating clean, renewable solar electricity to help us conserve the liquid of life, our freshwater resources, with a solar water credit. And as far as voting, since President Trump and his administration are a wholly owned subsidiary of the petroleum industry, I suggest that if anybody in your audience does vote, that they vote for the most environmentally friendly candidates that they can, so as to slow our heating to reduce the heat of our planet and slow our move towards a runaway greenhouse effect.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
You served your purpose. Thanks so much. Okay, 888-874-4888 is the number to call, and we're talking about what you are likely to do or not do come Tuesday. Frank from Oakland, you're on the air.
Yeah, good morning, Latrice. Good afternoon.
Hi.
Calling from Oakland, the West Coast. Great show. The first thing is, yesterday someone called about a general strike. There was a general strike in 1946 here in Oakland. She wasn't sure about that. But anyhow, going to voting is, I think you have to exercise your right. And if you don't vote, you don't complain. I know a lot of people don't feel that way. But and then the last thing is, if the Democrats knew how to actually campaign last time, they could have flipped three states and they would have won the election. Now, whether you think Hillary or Clinton or Trump was lesser two evils, look what we have now, and that actually opposes what we have now in the Supreme Court. So I don't know. And like I said, you have to go out and vote, I think. And have a good day. Goodbye.
All right. Thank you. Short and sweet. Maat from New York, you're on the air.
Yes. Greetings, beloved family, and bear with me because I was needing to sleep, but I had to put on an alarm because this is important. I'm going to refer everybody to something that was exquisite and right on point and why you need to vote and get Democrats in place. I heard Alan Nair. It's A-L-L-A-N, and the last name is N as in Nancy, A-I-R-N. He's been a long-time journalist and activist, and one of the things, and he had to preface this, that he's done is he's not usually for Democrats. He's documented their war crimes and tried to get them prosecuted for war crimes, but he said right now, with incipient fascism at hand, he really breaks it down because he talks about the rightist revolution that can only go with the Republicans consolidating power and strengthening it, because he goes into why the voter suppression, the gerrymandering, et cetera, goes down. It's because that's the only way they can get in power. They basically become a white party. He breaks it down to the point as to if we don't gain, say, the House of Representatives, what will continue to happen. He referenced the previous set of attacks last week as being isolated, but fleshed out how they could become more organized. And, of course, we've seen these one group is Proud Boys invited to the Metropolitan Republican Club on the Upper East Side of Manhattan. They stepped out and they fought the anti-fascists. So he was making the point, and there's that other group, Rise Up, throughout California,
violence. I appreciate the fact that you're sharing information about this. I'm more interested, let's get back to the topic
Yeah, the topic is why if we don't put Democrats in, the point I was about to make is that the attacks will go from being somewhat isolated, including what happened in Kentucky with, I don't know whether you discussed Vicki Lee Jones and Marie Stollard being killed by white supremacists. He said that it's likely that those attacks would become organized in terms of paramilitary units and even snipers. He referenced Gaza and how the Israelis are picking off people, you know, at that area.
In this environment, I understand all of that, but in this environment, a lot could happen. And in some cases, people are taking advantage of this and turning up the juice on fear. And I only have this to say. These things are not new. These predictions about these awful things that could happen or might happen have already happened in this country. So they're not new. What is new, perhaps, and this is a thing that has to be explored, what is new is the idea of, quote, white-on-white crime. When these things were happening, you have entire towns obliterated. Black towns obliterated.
Yes, I'm familiar with Rose in Florida.
And
Oklahoma.
I'm saying we have had these experiences before. And now, and this is my particular pet peeve, and that is that now that it is a problem, because we're seeing that the victims increasingly are white, we're seeing that the victimizers increasingly are white. This now poses some kind of a breakwater moment in time. It isn't, and we shouldn't do it. In the same way that I really resent Oprah Winfrey telling people that if you don't vote, you will be dishonoring your ancestors. What the heck? Where did she get the authority to say something like that?
I grew up in New York City, in Manhattan, and my parents, you know, came from that era where they were close to that. So I was sort of entrained in a certain way. I didn't, you know, at some point I felt like you in many ways, but I exhort everyone, it doesn't come on until 40 minutes after the hour, but you need to understand that the Democratic Party is the only party that expands in terms of not losing some level of democracy. The Republicans have to go the other way. Recently, Trump came out.
I'm asking a question. Let's not go into a whole treatise. Not today is not the day for that. Today we're talking about what are you inclined to do on Tuesday?
I say that it's very important for everybody, and I'm sure that the first caller is going to vote for Andrew Gillum, because he mentioned that if you get the Democratic governors in, you're less likely to have the gerrymandering and the control itself and assess to vote. I mean, there's a million more votes that went into Democrats for the House of Representatives, but because of the gerrymandering, that's how
keep straying off the. It's just a simple, straightforward question. What are you inclined to do on Tuesday?
Unless the Democrats, the only party now we know is a corporate party, and then he says the day after the election we go deeper because we know there's a structural problem in terms of how these people get into office, the finance part
okay,
of it, et cetera, et cetera.
You're either not listening or you are listening but refuse to answer the question. I asked you a simple, straightforward question. What are you inclined to do come Tuesday?
Well, being in New York is a little bit different. Okay, but I am a registered voter, so the people that I'm talking to who aren't registered might not have that option. But again, incipient fascism. You mentioned about how white people be.
Okay. We'll move on for the moment because it's a straightforward question. Based on all the things that we have discussed and even things we have not yet discussed, what does your mind tell you that to do come Tuesday? That's the question. Eric from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Hello, Eutrice. It's been quite a while, but I, like I said, I listen religiously and I love your show.
Thank you. This is our show.
Yes, yes, absolutely. I think that a big, well, I'm going to say what I'm going to do. I am not participating. And a lot of times that's interpreted as, oh, you don't have a right to say anything about it. But I think that people really, they get it caught up with the emotional part of this situation in terms of the whole talk about fascism and all of that stuff. And they're not paying attention to the details. I think that if we can agree that war is probably one of the most horrendous aspects of humanity right now, right? Then we move on to the idea that you have two parties that orchestrate wars consistently, continuously. They sacrifice your money, they sacrifice your kids, they sacrifice your environment. So these parties that are talking about how much they care about their environment, what does war do to the environment?
All right. So, well, what I don't want you to take off yet on your tangent, because that is a whole other discussion. I'm more interested in what has your observation and analysis brought you to in terms of a decision come Tuesday? What are you going to do?
This is what I'm getting to very quickly, because everybody that wants to say they're progressive is going to vote for the Democrats. And I think that's, a bit, like I said, that's based on not paying attention, because the Republicans and this president, Trump, wanted the largest military bill in this country's history, right? Who knows? And who's discussing the fact that 60% of the Democrats voted to give him $64 billion more?
Hello?
They're the ones.
Hello?
Yes, hello?
That's the point I'm making, so that, you know, we have to see these things in proper perspective.
Yes. How in the world can you say that they're an option? Where were all the other Democrats when their buddies were voting to authorize this president to kill more people? So why should you get off easy? You're voting for these people and you're saying, oh, fascism, fascism. They're orchestrating fascism all over the world together. And you're supporting it, and you're voting for it, and then you have the nerve to say, oh, well, look at the other side. Your side is supporting it just as much. Stop your fantasy.
All right. You know? Thank you, Eric. Thanks so much. And I hope when we return to this conversation to get the fine details of your argument for what you are about to do on Tuesday, that you would also return to the conversation and give us more insights on how you made up your mind. Ali from New York, you're on the air.
Hi, Utrice. How are you doing?
Okay. How about you?
Hanging in. And I just wanted to say hello to all the audience, all the people that are listening. I know they're going to be mad at me, but I will have to say something about them. Especially those people that they live in New York. The first thing that I have to tell you about your question is there are three people that they were very influential on me not to vote, not to go out and vote anymore. One of them is one of my brother, Barack Obama, and Miss Yustridli.
Oh. Wow.
Yes. One of them, my brother, some years ago, he told me he got really, really upset because what is happening in this city about housing, and he used to drive a taxi, and the unfair thing that the city had been doing to the taxi drivers. And he was so upset that he said, I'm not going to vote anymore because voting is like you at a notary, and then you go, you put your signature, and that you don't notarizing those paper to make somebody serve, but they're not going to do anything for you. And I always remember that. And since that day, I have been thinking more and more about voting. The second one is Barack Obama. Why Barack Obama? Because he has a he had this swagger, and when he called that cop that he had in the White House drinking beer with him after he called him stupid, he swallowed his pride. And it was, to me, it was more about Barack eating his pride and not about the people. And then he went and he told African-American that he was the president for everyone, and he never did anything for African-American or the Latinos when it came to immigration. And you treat you because you have been hitting on the same thing. What are these people doing for us? And for the audience, I know that they're going to get mad at me. If you go and you vote out there, especially in New York City, even though I understand what Marge is saying, that this is a different phenomenon here because of the Democrat machine, and you tell me that you go and you put that vote in, and you don't go out on the street, and I have been calling this show telling people, come and support us, especially in issues about black and brown people with the police department. I haven't seen the first person from this show to ever show up to give us support. And I call for the October 22nd. I don't remember. It was a very small crowd, very powerful, but a very small. So you're going to tell me that you just go, put that vote, and then you stay at home. I know that a lot of people can't go out on the street. That I understand. But you're going to tell me from all these people that they call this show, and the only thing that they do is they just call in and give their opinion, and then you go and vote, and do you think these people are going to do anything for you? We have to be in dreamland. Maybe I might as well maybe move to Disneyland, because they're never going to do anything for you, even if you go and vote for them. And okay, to that gentleman who called Bill, I do have to say this about Bill. Yes, I understand what Bill said about Walmart. I'm one of those people that they don't use a machine, and I don't go to Walmart. I don't have Walmart. And even if I see it on the road, I never go to Walmart. But you also have to take a look at the tree, at this corporation, because you might be investing and buying things that this corporation are getting from China and from other places that you should not even be buying. That's what I just have to say. Maybe I said
all right.
Too much. Thank you.
Thank you for calling in. From Wisconsin, Marcus, you're on the air. What are you inclined to do come Tuesday?
Well, first, always elevating to hear you, Ms. Lead, and your excellent program. Thank you.
It's our excellent program. Let's share the credits.
I stand corrected. I've already exercised my civic duty with OOD, not UT. The only sensible attitude about voting, I should preface it with this information. Just to put the election in perspective, right now, over 50 of the Democratic candidates in 102 districts are ex-CIA, ex-NSA, ex-military intelligence, ex-cops, ex-soldiers. Now, do you think these people are going to do anything for you? Think some more. So voting, while it has some tiny marginal effect, in terms of the overall workings of the system, it's completely symbolic. You know, at Christmas time, I buy presents for little children, too. But I don't think Santa Claus is coming. And you have to approach voting the same way. Your caller, Eric, was right bang on the money. Military spending is the biggest scam, corporate scam, ripoff in human history. And the idea that you can, alter your consumer behavior, I'll shun Walmart like I'm Amish or something, and that will have some effect, is just delusional. Now, when you're ready not to spend a penny with major banks or on news media or corporations that feed you lies every single minute of the day, when you're ready to get rid of your car, when you're ready to stop buying insurance, when you're ready to throw your TV out the window, now you'll get their attention. But the,
all right,
these
but
tiny
Marcus,
marginal
Tuesday,
things mean...
Come Tuesday... You're not participating, which is what Eric said. He's not participating.
I have already done so.
Okay.
I've done it. Yeah.
All right.
As I said,
thank you.
It's like buying presents.
Move along fast because we have only a little bit of time.
Sure.
We'll come back to this next week, of course. But I just want to get as many people chiming in as possible today. CC from New Jersey, you're on the air.
Thank you so much, Utrice. And I must say again, you are loved, you're liked, and you're loved. And I must say hello to the lead story leaders. It's been a while. It's been a while.
Yes,
and
it has.
I want to say I tuned in after coming out of a meeting. So I wasn't in the beginning, but I do want to say that I am voting. I'm hearing that you're asking what would the callers do, and I am voting. I did not vote Republican or Democratic last year, but something that I'm not hearing enough of, and maybe it's because I'm tuning in and I'm not getting it when I tune in, and that is that it's an involvement process that we've got to be involved. You know, the thinking somebody's going to do it for us, they're not. And so, Eric Butterworth has said that either the Mormons or the one organization, when they pray, they keep their feet moving. So when we vote, we've got to keep our feet and our hands moving. As I see it, is that it's definitely something that I can't expect them to do it. They work for the people who give them the money the day after they win. So I don't see how that could, I personally think, as I say, I like what Jeff has said many times, and that is, check with the churches. I mean, that's our instant group of organized power. And also, we need to be looking at energy. We've got to get our energy really in place. But with so many dynamic people running Democratic, I have to, they're both corrupt. They're both outrageous. I'm thinking it's time for us now with the involvement to make our voices count. And that's where I am.
Okay. Well, that's a good assessment, and we are going to pick this back up. We still have Monday, and we will continue the conversation Monday, going into depth a bit more. But today was just a way of getting a fast overview of how people's minds are shaping up with regard to November 6th. Thank you so much for your call. Jeff from New Jersey, you're on the air.
Hello. I want to tell you this. Hello.
Hello. I'm hearing you.
Yes. Good. Come Tuesday, I will vote. However, I will not vote for anyone that I can't put my hands on. And that means that in voting locally, make sure that the people I can hold accountable, whether it be with a meeting, going to the church and confronting them, being outside their house and confronting them, because that's where we begin. We have to treat our elected officials the same way that the, though we don't have the money, But we have the fear factor. If we can put our hands on the individual, we can make sure that they do what we want them to do. If not, take them by the seat of their pants and throw them into the street. And that's just the way you're going to have to handle it. One of the things that we can do, and we'll get into this as far as a protest goes, when someone said a mass strike, would be to, with all of those states that have voter suppression, begin to not put your athletes into their state schools. So, for instance, in North Carolina, if there were no black basketball players on the North Carolina or Duke teams, their legislatures would change, and they would pay
all
attention.
All right, but essentially,
because that's big money.
Your premise is you will be voting, but
yes,
you will not be voting for candidates that you cannot, as you put it, lay your hands on, meaning that you will be voting for candidates you consider directly accountable and who are okay with that.
Local people.
Local people.
So that's where we have to start. Once you have captured the local level, then you move up.
All right.
You know.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. Willie from Brooklyn, what are you inclined to do come Tuesday?
My dear sister and professor, you absolutely, I stand with you all the way, just on about everything you say. But I just totally disagree with you on this. I don't think people should not vote. You should vote. I think you're totally wrong.
But I haven't said that people should not vote. I made it clear.
I'm sorry. You don't
said,
vote. Right.
I've never told people what they should vote
no,
or should
yeah,
not vote.
Okay, let
but
me correct
I did
myself.
I did relate, and I have talked about it quite a few times, about why in the last 20 years, I came to an epiphany about 20 years ago that voting was useless. So I stopped voting. And I'm
right,
looking
right.
for, I'm searching for a reason to vote, and I haven't found one.
But you see, my sister, whatever you say you do, as a leader among us, we're going to do the same thing. And I think
Why?
That's totally wrong.
Why? No, no, no. This is the whole point. This is just my decision.
But you're not listening to what I'm saying. I'm saying as a shining star among us, we're following you.
I'm okay? saying don't
so
follow
if
me.
If you don't vote,
yes,
we're not going to vote either.
I don't know where I'm going.
But I understand perfectly what you're saying. But I think you're on this one, you're very wrong. I am going to vote on Tuesday.
Okay.
But I'm not voting for anybody that they have selected for me. Because that's, in my judgment, that's just idiotic. Here's two people. Pick one. It's the same bird. The left wing and the right one, the right wing, are the same insect. They're the only things that have two wings. So is the Democratic and Republican Party. It's one bird. And we've been doing, how long have we been doing this? And it's the same, the result is the same. So in my judgment, you really have to be idiotic to think you the Democratic Party is going to satisfy our needs. I'm
so
saying.
So if you're not voting for anybody
on
the ballot,
I am voting.
I'm just asking. On Tuesday, when you go in to cast your vote, you do not expect to see anybody that you know on the ballot.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Who are you casting your vote for?
Well, I'm bringing my pen. I always use my pen to write who I think I would like to see, which I know that can't happen. And you know who that is. But just like APAC, we need an APAC. If 10 million people write that name. 20 million people, write that name in. Guess what? You would have to apologize. And you have to do what you do when you want, when you want any political office in this country, starting with your president. You'd have to go to them. Very simple. So I'm going to use my vote.
I just want to try and see if we can take one more call after this. But what you're saying is you are not voting for any pre-selected candidate who will be appearing on the ballot. You'll be writing in your candidate and will be voting from Tuesday.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, thank you. We have this one last call that we can take before we run out of time today. Sasha from California.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm so glad we got in. I got in here. I can sympathize with anyone who feels their vote does not count. Our vote has been diluted by the way things are set up. The elections are basically rigged. But I have to say that Ralph Nader forwarded an idea that was not his own, but certainly worth promoting in around 1997, where we tried, at least in California, it didn't happen, but it succeeded in a number of countries and state various municipalities, and it is the none of the above vote, the
none
binding none
of the
above choice. Yes, and that gives us the real power in our vote, where we're not just told, here are your choices, vote for A, B, or C. Vote for none of the above means I reject all candidates in this particular race. And that's the one powerful
measure. Is that what you're likely
to
do on Tuesday? Are you likely on Tuesday to vote for none of the above?
Well, if we had that choice, that would bring many more voters out, because that would give us the power to reject all candidates. Unfortunately, in the United States, I don't know if any of the 50 states have ever adopted that. Maybe some cities might have, but if anyone is interested, just looking up none of the above, it's definitely a thing that exists. You can find list of countries and municipalities that use it in their voting, and it gives much more power. And the other part is the fact that there are still states like Georgia, I believe, using the same electronic voting machines that were in use over 20 years ago that were already proven to be completely vulnerable to hacking and tampering.
Well,
so
election, there will be a lot of legal action being taken to challenge the result. Whichever way.
Yes.
But your idea, I mean, what you just advanced here sounds like what Willie was just talking about. Why not just write in?
A write-in vote is essentially, it works as a protest vote. Rather than saying, I'm not going to vote, and giving more power to the people who do vote, say, I'm going to vote a protest vote against their votes. So that's one thing. But none of the above functions even better, because that's a much higher possibility that people will say, no, I reject all the candidates, kill this race, we'll have another election later maybe, but we reject all candidates in this race, and that's only if that none of the above choice wins. But we won't even really know ever what wins unless we have hand-counted paper ballots, and forget these computerized voting machines, because they're completely subject to fraud, and they're run by fraudsters.
Well, we'll have to leave it there for today. We've run out of time. Thank you, Sasha. You were well worth waiting for. Thank you so much for chiming in. That brings us to the end of our program for today, but it's not the end of our discussion of the issue. We'll continue Monday. We still have Monday, one day before the fateful day of November the 6th, to get our thoughts out about the election. Have yourselves a great weekend. Surround yourselves with positive people who add dimension to your life. And we'll see each other on Monday. Bye-bye.